Anyway, I had to go to County Lockup, 30 days, and I got out. And my friends, like any good military friend should do, said, "You want to like pay rent or get food? No, let's throw a party and invite whores and have a gangbang."
Hey, welcome back to Four for the Road, everybody. I'm Real's Punk Rock. We got No Shame. We got Father Time and Garage Beard Dave with us. I'm sorry. We got Drifter with us and Garage Beard Dave. And I think we're going to talk about some stuff that might get some people riled up. But Dave and I have already had this kind of conversation, and he makes a lot of good points. So definitely when you're listening to this episode, keep an open mind, right? And at the end of the day, you got to remember this is all opinion, and our opinion don't mean shit.
Fuck that. Luckily, ever since No Shame posted us on that one website, we've had just nothing but the old crotchety, closed-minded, a surge of them just coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
I accidentally posted an article on that Facebook group, we're still seeing the effects of that.
No, I don't know. I'm just talking shit. I think it was bad for a while, but I think it's all like calm back down to like normal for the most part, normal good interactions and shit like that.
So Dave, why don't you start us off, man? This was your baby. This is your
this
idea.
Is our second. This is our second intro, and I really feel like in the beginning of the first one there was a good one where originally I was going to have Jace on here from the Fast Life podcast and kind of have him and I almost like a debate, him and I over here and you guys over here. Now it's just me taking on three guys at once, which I still like that joke. So I want to make sure that it doesn't get cut out and it's included. So you're welcome.
Ken.
Wouldn't it be the first time you took on three guys at once? I'm Ken.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time Dave had three dudes at once, but
thank you. You're a little slow on that one. It looked like you were preoccupied with something. I couldn't see what it was, but you look busy.
Yeah, man, we're not gonna fucking worry about that. So anyway,
you look busy.
Dave, this was your fucking idea. So why don't we just jump into it and get it over with?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of, but you know, like you said, I think there's a couple of good directions. Everything that we say is opinion based, so nobody should like run out and take this as factual. Also, if you want to yell at Ken's club, we can put a number for his sponsor down here in the little thing. I'm just kidding. He ran to the pisser, so he's gone. But no, Jim and I, Ken, I know we brought No Shame on this, just because I think having a diamond or a 1% insight on it is valuable too. But something Jim and I have been kicking around and Ken on some other previous podcasts and stuff like that is basically, do you need to join a motorcycle club? And I'm firmly on the no side. And I think, hang on, let's back up. I don't necessarily know that the right question is, do you need to join a club? That's to your own deciding. Are the benefits that you get in a motorcycle club exclusive to a motorcycle club? Or can they be found elsewhere? My argument has been that there is nothing that pertains or is exclusive to a motorcycle club that you can't find somewhere else. Now,
well, then it wouldn't be considered exclusive to a motorcycle.
Having said that, if your gut burning passion is I have to join this club, then you should do that. But if you think that you're going to join a motorcycle club or that you want to join a motorcycle club or have to join a motorcycle club strictly to get X, Y, and Z, brotherhood, long distance riding, service above self, whatever buzzwords we want to put in there, I disagree. You can find those in absolutely anything in the motorcycle world, and you don't have to join a club to get it. And just me here, I don't no affiliation whatsoever, just my personal opinion. As an outsider looking in, I'm not in a club, right? So I'm an outsider. I'm looking in, and people say, well, fuck his opinion. Okay, fair enough. But the people that are going to join your clubs in the future are currently outsiders looking in. So our opinion does matter. And my opinion, not shared by anybody else, could less club members, less growth be a good thing?
Yes.
Yes, no, maybe. I don't know. For me, what I've seen, I would fall on the side of yes, less growth could be a great thing. But anyway, that's kind of the point of this this episode, and we'll kind of there's a bunch of different topics, I think, within that. So hopefully we'll try and keep it on track and organized. But I think the starter point, and I see Drifter already just like, well, let me get this motherfucker, is that my point, and that I've written a couple of articles about, is that I still love motorcycle clubs. I love the history. I love the people. I love the aspect. But there is nothing you're going to get in a club that you can't get elsewhere. So if it's not 100% something you absolutely need to do, like you just can't breathe without it, don't fucking do it. And you'll be just as happy. Maybe so happier.
I want to address the two things that you brought up, right? The benefits that you get from being in a club and the growth part of it, right? So starting off with can you get what you get in a motorcycle club outside of the motorcycle club? I 100% in my core believe you can. And we know many examples of that. We've got, you know, like you brought up, Jace from the Fast Life, right? He's got real tight bonds with everybody that he rides with, like his core group. They function as a family. You know, they do Thursday night dinners or whenever the fuck it is, right? They have family dinners together. They're riding all the time together. You'll never see one without the other. You know, you can have that camaraderie. You have that long distance riding. You have the fucking events and like, hey, we're going to have this camp out two states away that we're going to ride to and we're going to sponsor it with my business, right? Like they have all that. Just like you'll find in a motorcycle club. Right. We got Cole down in Virginia Beach from Dynafab, right? Him and his guys doing the exact same thing. You're never going to find one off by himself. The Mercenary Motorcycle Company guys, same thing. You know, like there's plenty of examples that you can find a motorcycle club reflection in the independent community. 100%. My thing is I don't think you will find it as often with the level of commitment matching, right? As an example, I have a lot of great friends. I consider the three men on this show with me right now my family, you know? Like, there's not a whole lot that I wouldn't do for you guys except for, you know, things involving my wife. You know what I'm saying? And except for Dave, you know? Maybe get some of them good Latin genes in my family.
Hang on. No, I don't know other than your wife. Could you please elaborate? No, I'm just kidding. Go on.
But, you know, having a conversation with one of my patch holders the other night, he asked me, he's like, you know, I know things change for everybody. So why is it that you want to be part of my club tonight? What's your reason today? I said, honestly, man, I just feel like I'm at home. I feel like I'm part of a family. And I really enjoy being around you guys and being around what your club represents. And I don't feel that I could, me personally, I don't feel that I could get that kind of feeling with an independent crew of people outside of Dave, you know, and Jake, obviously, right? Like when we did our fucking, what did Jim call it? The Jack Heller Memorial Run. Right. When we were on that, we all met up in one of the Carolinas and had dinner with Jake. Like it just felt like it was family right there. Right. But that, to be honest, was the first time as an independent guy that I really felt that with other independent bikers. Whereas like I'm looking at it as I'm going through my prospect journey. I've never felt like this. I've never felt this level of acceptance and this level of dedication from other independent bikers, like I said, outside of Dave and Jake. Yeah. And then as far as the growth goes that you brought up, you know, is less growth good for the culture? I believe so. Yeah, obviously you still need new members. You need these younger cats to join motorcycle clubs. One, to carry on the legacy, you keep things fresh, you get a new perspective when the new generation comes in, right? But hold on, Dave. But
no, hang on, wait, hang on. Just don't go too much into the growth yet. Let's stick to
okay. Well, and okay.
I think
okay.
The motorcycle growth will be good. We'll
run it later. That's cool. But yeah, man. But to summarize, yeah, can you get what you get in a motorcycle club in the independent culture? I 100% agree. You can. I just think it's more common to find it in the motorcycle club community.
Jimbo, Jimbo.
Okay, here we go. All right, so I 100% agree with you that all these things that you're talking about, the brotherhood, the long distance riding, and all that, you can find outside of a club. I think the motorcycle club is the scene. It's changing. Ken mentioned a bunch of these guys. Dynafab there with Cole, outstanding group of guys. Left Lane Syndicate. All these different groups, right? You can get almost all of what you're talking about, but it's a matter of levels. You know, you can get the same thing with your live-in girlfriend. You can have your live-in girlfriend and everything's great. But it's not the same commitment as a marriage, now is it? Let's just be honest. So if you're wanting this brotherhood, if you're wanting this long distance riding and all that, then the next level up from what you're talking about is a club. That's where you have committed to all those guys, and all those guys have committed to you, to all the things that we're talking about. So all these new things coming up, they're great, love them, and I want to see more of them. And for selfish reasons, I think it's a great introductory to club life. So, and going back, looking at all these new entities that are popping up, whenever those people move on to something else, then that's going to die. So that's why it's not a club. But if you get new people in to replace the old people, and it just goes on and on and on, you know, one of these new organizations, then guess what? That's a club. That's a club without patches, but it's still a club. So that's the big difference. These things that you're talking about now, they're not as much a commitment, and they're temporary. A club should be total commitment forever. And that's just how it goes.
No shame?
I guess I would start mine off with kind of looking at what your experience is, Dave, with this whole thing. So, like, for those that don't know, you were in clubs before, you know, you came from the club life. And then now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're in an area of the country where the motorcycle scene and like these, it's kind of like a mecca almost when you're talking about, especially Harley Davidson, you know, the area that you're in, you know, and you get a lot of events and stuff like that. But you're kind of finding this brotherhood that you would have normally had in a club within like just these groups of friends. And a lot of that is still centered around the like motorcycle industry, correct?
Yeah. And real quick, you know, for the record, I'm not saying that I don't think it sounded like it, but if it did, for anybody listening, I'm not saying fuck clubs at all. I may go back one day. I'm just saying that I don't think that is needed. So anyway, go on.
Okay, so I guess my question would be like, what draws you to that as opposed to a club? Because like we're giving all these reasons for like why club versus over this, but I guess my question is why that as opposed to a club? And I can make my assumptions, but I don't really want to go forward assuming things. I'd like to just hear what your experience is, because I haven't experienced it.
Yeah, and I think Ken hit on some really good ones earlier. And I think, you know, something that Drifter and I have talked about previously, and I think is a really good – it's a much better bar debate with a mixed drink or a beer or a Coke or whatever, like Coca-Cola, not – well, you know, Coke too, whatever. But I think the commitment level. Drifter, I think, is a romantic. I think I'm a bit of a romantic as well. And I think when we talk about clubs and we talk about commitment and we talk about next level, Drifter believes that – in his core, because it's what he represents. And I think it's what this group represents. And I would even branch out and say most of the people that we interact with, whether it's our clubs, whether it's people on the page, podcasts, people we've met, whatever, most of those people are good representations of club life. They're not all as cool as Drifter, but they're up there. But I don't think that that's the overwhelming majority. Nothing's perfect. And when we talk about commitment, I think we can all draw on plenty of examples where someone in a patch, a club, a chapter, one or two people within your own chapters or clubs, whatever, no specifics, fell very, very, very short of that commitment. Or we've seen it where guys are committed because there's some type of recourse if there's not. There's the shame of not making something. There's the fine. There's the possibly being prospected or probated again because you didn't meet the standards or you didn't do this or that. There's, you know, some clubs have rules about timelines for when you can or can't leave and things like that. And so it's like you're not always, but to a certain extent, you're holding people to a standard that they might not otherwise meet. And well, they should have thought of that before they made the commitment. You and I would say that. But again, that's not applicable across the board for clubs. What I like about what some of these other folks are doing is I would argue that it's almost a higher level of commitment than clubs because you're doing it of your own free will. There's not a due. There's not a nationals. There's not a mandatory run. There's not the stigma of letting down the patch or your brothers or all this other stuff. Like if you don't show up to these group of friends that Jim said is like a club, if you don't show up, it's that much easier to be exiled. It's that much easier to be cut out as a cancerous part of the group. Whereas, like I said, examples, a plethora of examples in clubs, when somebody's not living up to a brother, to the standard, there's remedial steps that are taken. Sometimes that's helpful and the guy gets his stuff together and you know, he just went through a bad period. Other times, and we've all seen it, these less than adequate club brothers, they just keep riding on the past. They just keep riding on the work that somebody like, not Drifter's Club, but I'm saying somebody like Drifter is pulling that person along. We can't say that doesn't exist. That very much exists. So what I like about what these guys are doing, to summarize, I like the fact that these groups are coming together of their own free will. There is no patch. There's no dues. There's no, like I said, none of that stuff requiring them to be there. I see that as a higher level of commitment because you're choosing it. You're not required. And you can say, well, I chose to prospect and join my club. You very much did. But go ahead, Ken.
Are we letting? Okay. Go ahead, Ken. I'll finish my thoughts later.
So
yeah. We'll come back to No Shame after Ken.
Stand down, troop. Stand down. So with that though, right, it's and I completely agree with you. When you say that it's easier to cut that guy out when he's not showing up, he's not like meeting the standard that the group has set, right? But then what I see obviously more prevalent in like the club community, because that's what I'm more focused on right now, is there are people who, I'm trying to pick my words very carefully here. There are some men who aren't able to make all the rides, or most of the rides, rather, right? Not able to make most of the rides, not able to make most of the events because of whatever the life circumstances they have going on, right? Whether it's kids, wife, divorce, fucking legal troubles, whatever, right? But I think it's easier for the club to say, hey, like, this guy has these life events going on. We need to cut him some fucking slack. He doesn't need to fucking show up for this. He doesn't need to show up for that. Da 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 da. Right? But he's there when it fucking matters. Like, when one of his brothers calls him and say, like, let's say he's a fucking... I had a problem with my heater recently, right? So I'll use that as an example, right? So, like, hey, like, you have this guy who has all these heater problems, and it's the middle of fucking winter. He's got two kids at home, and you're a HVAC specialist, right? He missed the last three fucking rides and he missed the last two parties at the clubhouse, but he showed up for, you know, his guy, whether it's a prospect or a brother, because he has that skill set. He has the tools and the knowledge to fucking fix that issue for him personally. That's when he showed up. Like, that's where you get that slack cut, right? I don't really see that. And maybe this is just a real ignorant statement, right? But I don't really see that happening in the private community, in the independent community, where like, oh, well, Billy hasn't been to the last four fucking bike nights that we've hosted. And, you know, he didn't go on these last two rides that we hosted either. You know, so like, I'm just going to quit fucking hitting him up. But Billy was there when your heat was out. You know, Billy showed up for your kid's birthday party and fucking made sure that your daughter got exactly what the fuck she wanted for her birthday and shit. I think that the club does a lot better in terms of thinking big picture rather than a like, well, rather than small picture stuff, personally.
No, right, so, yeah, I'm going to pick this back up. I guess the question was, or the, you know, the proposed hypothesis, if you will, is you can find.
Hey, wait a minute! You can't be using big words like that. First of all, right?
Okay, my bad. So what you're proposing is that is proposed too big of a word? Or that's good enough. Right, that's on the brink. All right, I'll stick with proposed.
Ken's gonna put a glossary down below.
Appendix of terms. So what, Dave? Your point is basically that everything that you can get in a motorcycle club, you can get elsewhere. I think that was the statement. Okay. But of your own admission, there are things that happen in the motorcycle club world that do not happen in this like private sector, if you will. So.
Hang on. Not that they don't happen in the private sector, like to Ken's example, but I think that the, you know, there's, again, we're using extreme examples here. We're saying, well, this is a negative. Ken chose to highlight the positive. Like, so it's not that it's, yeah, anyway, go on.
Well, I'm not going to use an extreme example. I'm just going to take one thing that you were saying, which in my mind is a positive to some people, but maybe not the positive that it would be to them to others. So this is not taking anything away from those kinds of groups. This is just highlighting a difference. One of the things that you enjoy is that ease of entry and exit. You know, you're not prospecting guys to come hang out with you to be your buddy. And then at the same time, when I don't know why Ken's showing his stomach to somebody outside, but
don't do that again.
That's illegal in 14.
My wife just went grocery shopping and she was walking up. I live in a split level. So where I record is on the ground level. Motherfucker! Oh, she just walked in. Anyways, I was showing her my titties. She was going to show me her titties.
Ah, didn't work. All right. So back to what I was saying. So one of the things that Dave enjoys about this culture kind of thing, like the companies coming together, having these groups of friends, or even maybe not even companies, maybe just groups of buddies that ride together, is that your commitment level is just based on what you want to give, and if somebody doesn't want to actively participate, then they're just not there, you know, and then they fall to the wayside. Maybe they get deleted off the group chat, you know, in an extreme example, whatever it may be. And to me, that's not what I'm looking for. So although I see the merits and the benefits in that, I do think that going through that prospecting period and going through that hang around period and the structure that a motorcycle club provides is something that a lot of people are missing that they don't find other places. Now, people can make the argument that there's established organizations. You have like Masonic organizations, you have Elks lodges, you have Moose lodges, you have bowling clubs, dart leagues, things that have rules and structure around them in varying degrees. But like Dave, like Drifter was saying earlier, I do not think that they have them on the same level that a motorcycle club has them. I've seen a lot of people who have gone through Masonic rites and made it certain levels in that organization. And then they don't participate anymore, but they still walk around wearing the rings and, you know, doing little handshakes and making little fancy gestures and whatnot. And that's highly frowned upon in the motorcycle club world. If I left my club today and washed out, I'm not going to still be walking around wearing my patches, still claiming to be a part of the organization. So that level of necessity to give to the organization is payment to be able to participate. And I don't see that everywhere else in the world. Although there are good substitutions, there's nothing that is quite the same as a motorcycle club, which, you know, I won't make this the whole episode, but bringing it back around, there's so many reasons not to join a club. And I would caution everybody to look at all of the reasons not to join a club and to look at all these other examples and all these other alternatives as viable things to fulfill your needs and your wants and your desires out of life. But if those things are not being fulfilled by those organizations, maybe the club is the right place for you. If somebody's coming to my club in the hang around process, I do my very best to talk them out of going forward with joining a club. I tell hang arounds they're in the perfect position because you get to like experience the MC world without having to do all the things that some people might look at as bullshit. But you know, you start looking at things like one of the things Ken was talking about, life changes. maybe I have kids right now, and in years, my kids are going to be grown and out of the house. Well, my commitment level and my participation level is going to change drastically from here to 9 years from now. And say this was just a group of friends that I hung out with, and I have my kids, and you know, maybe they have kids, and we're all hanging out, and like, it's cool because we're all in the same life situation. But once your life situation changes, are you still a part of that friend group? Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe the degree to which you are a part of it changes. But in the club, I'm going to be in this club through every stage and every aspect of my life. And then when it comes to things like somebody not pulling their weight, you know, the people that are talking about like, okay, we're here, where this is a commitment. We have dues and responsibilities. And I'm not talking about financial dues. I'm talking about like your time. I'm talking about like participation and doing the things you're supposed to be doing. If you're slacking on that, I would challenge clubs to do two things. One, do a better job screening prospective members. Make sure that they actually enjoy riding their motorcycle, because how many times do we talk about how difficult it is to get brothers on bikes? So make sure the people that you're putting into your organization have the same values and the same interests and the same things that you want to do.
And I think, wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I think right there.
Wait, let me finish this one point. All right, but also on the same side of that, it gives you the opportunity where if, say, Ken's in my organization and he's fucking up, I can pull Ken aside as a brother and say, like, look, you're not cutting the fucking mustard, and you don't get to just leave. We don't get to just cut you off. We're going to figure out what the fuck's wrong with you. How are we going to make you better? Maybe my opinions need to change a little bit too. Maybe you're going through some shit I didn't fucking know about. And there's more of an onus on the organization, or at least there should be, to lift up people who are failing versus just kicking them to the side. So that's the end of that point.
So I think that one of the things you ended with that I love the most is the onus on the organization. 100% agree. Now, let's be real. That doesn't always happen. And what you're saying, again, brings back to my point that the people in this room, the people that we interact with, are usually the best representation of the motorcycle community. But I don't think you're the majority. I don't think you're the minority. I'm just saying that, you know, in a perfect world, we want to believe that 99% of the motorcycle world is just as committed and just as insightful and impactful as Ken, No Shame, and Drifter. It's not true. It's not reality. You could say it's 80%, 75%, whatever. You know, there's still a difference in the graphic there. And, you know, like to take Ken's point and No Shame, and I think Drifter brought it up too, you know, first of all, if your friend group sucks, fine. You're not going to find the same benefits because you got shitty friends that you could in a motorcycle group. Absolutely. What No Shame's talking about, what Ken mentioned with the HVAC and the heater, you know, that should be a part of your friend group too, because it can exist in motorcycle clubs. But we've heard countless stories again where guys in a club, you know, they had to do something for Christmas and nobody showed up to help them do this thing for Christmas. And so, you know, like there's examples all over, like it's just not going to be perfect. And if you go in looking for it to be perfect, you're going to be disappointed. Agree. You should, if you're going to join a club, again, my opinion carries more weight than Ken's, No Shame, or Drifters, because they're already in clubs, just saying, or prospecting for clubs. If you're an outsider, you're looking at joining a club, you should say how many Drifters, how many Kens, how many No Shames, et cetera, are in this fucking club. And if that's not the majority, or you don't feel like it's the majority, get the fuck out. Go hang out with your friends. Same thing with your friend group. If your friend group's not going to show up to help you fix your heater or to pick you up when you're down, because right now everybody's going to go, when they hear this episode, they're going to go to the extreme left or right, right? Like, oh, well, you know, my club, my brother came and, you know, I wasn't making shit for 6 months because I had a broken leg. Well, no fucking shit. They should still support you while you have a broken leg, right? We're not talking about that instance. Your club, your group of friends should pick you up when you're down. If you don't have that, you don't have a good group of friends. You don't have a good club, period. But the part that I come back to with the what I call free will is that if you have that good group of friends, that you're with each other's kids, you're having the barbecues, you're picking each other up when you miss six bike nights or whatever because, you know, your HVAC is fucked up or whatever. That to me, just my opinion, is a higher level of commitment, because there is no repercussion if you don't make it. If me and Ken don't share a patch and he calls me to come fix his HVAC and I don't do it, maybe Ken doesn't call me for a while. If we're in a club and I don't come to help Ken's aid, maybe there's something more that happens. But because of the relationship that Ken and I have, I'm going to be more apt to come and help him.
Okay. So here's the difference. Where is your loyalty? Right now, you're describing these friend groups as you're loyal to your friend. So you're going to do this, right? I think No Shame really put it out really good as he didn't say it like this, but I think he's talking about being loyal to the club so that these guys that are in the club, by virtue of you being loyal to the club, you're also loyal to them. So whenever you're loyal to just your friend, that can come and go. It doesn't matter. Easy in, easy out. But if you're loyal to the club, then you have to be there. And if you're not there, then yeah, that's a problem. And you're right. There are a shit ton of things, clubs that this has happened in. But you can't judge what a club is supposed to be and what our experiences of club is by just one person's experience. And it kind of sounds like you've had a pretty shitty experience.
No, no, no. I've had an amazing experience. But I've seen, we've all seen, shitty club members.
Sure.
I've had an amazing group of friends. I've been very blessed. I'm very lucky in that I don't fall into the category of having shitty friends.
But so they're out there.
Some of the shitty friends join clubs.
That's true.
Me, I'm a shitty friend, and I'm trying to join a club.
But well, I think it's easy to agree that there are shitty examples of clubs and there are shitty examples of friends. But what we're asking in the question, what's the original question? Can you get what you get out of a motorcycle club elsewhere? And I think that there's been examples given of things that you can get in a motorcycle club, and we're not arguing the merits. Or what are we arguing? Can you get them? And one of those things that we're arguing, can you get, is this structured requirement. So like I'm saying, you're right. There may be merits to somebody going and helping somebody out of their own free will, but there are also merits to being expected to go help somebody. You join the club on your own free will, but you also have expectations of duties and responsibilities within that club. And I think that's what separates the club from the other. And I think that's one of those things that's missing in a lot of people's lives. That, you know, a lot of people aren't Dave. A lot of people don't have the good kick-ass friends that Dave has. And they might need that extra little bit. I mean, there's people that go into the civilian world and they struggle immensely, but then they join the military and they do great, phenomenal, because there's a different level of structure. I think the only thing that maybe even comes close to the MC is the structure that you see in the military. And that's a volunteer force where you join of your own free will, but there are expectations of things that you can do, even to a higher extent than the military, because I can leave the MC in a fucked up way and I still have my gun rights. If I wanted to go fuck around in the fucking military and fucking get chapter or kicked out of the military, I fucking lose a bunch of fucking shit. So yeah, there's an extreme amount of things that you can do to get brotherhood, to get loyalty, to get camaraderie, but are they the same? And no, they aren't. I mean, there's, look at it. Like you brought up one thing, and I don't even know exactly how you stated it, but I'll just kind of rephrase it. Like there's like a tiered level to the MC world. So like you can, and you should join like smaller, like local mom and pop type clubs and see how those go. And then the cream should rise to the top. And then there's like a next level that you can go to and a level higher and a level higher until you find like that thing that's solid for you. You know, that does not exist. Like, I'm not going to go hang out with my buddies down at the local bar and be like, you suck. These guys are cool. Like, okay, those guys playing pool two tables over. They're the big leagues. Let me go fucking see if I can be their friend. That doesn't exist. And not to say that you need it, but I'm saying that kind of structure exists in the MC world where it does not exist anywhere else. So there are things that may draw people to it. And there's things that may be appealing to certain people that you cannot find anywhere else. And then, yes, if those are the things that you need in your life, join an MC. If they're not, I would highly encourage you to look elsewhere, because the bullshit that comes along with being an MC, if you don't have those extra things that keep you here, it might, you might just decide that you didn't want to fucking do this. And maybe that ease of entry in and out is actually what you needed, and you didn't want the structure. But if you're that kind of person that needs structure to your core, that needs the structure that an MC provides, then yeah, this is a perfect place for you. But I don't think that's a majority of people. I think
one of the best,
a majority of people that join do not need all these things, and they're just joining because it looks cool.
I think one of the things that I like that you said the most was the free will thing. I think that's the military, the clubs, the friendships, you know, really make sure that it's your free will. And people are like, well, I made the decision to do it, or they made the decision. I mean, really just don't fucking jump into it. Like, you know, whether you're going to do it or not do it, or you got the best homies or the worst homies in the world or whatever, you know, the free will. I love that saying or that point. And I think No Shame said it a lot more articulate than I did. And I agree 100% with that. I will say that so far, the best point of the podcast, of course, just has been mine. And seriously, if you I know it's hard as an outsider, believe me, it's hard. Even as a hang around, it's hard. Even as a prospect, it's hard. Even as a member, it's hard. But really try, make a conscious effort to say, pick somebody, a Drifter, a Ken, a No Shame, whoever that is for you in your organization, in your area, and really pay attention. Is No Shame the majority of this chapter, of this club, of this region, whatever? And be honest with yourself. And if the answer is no, if it's not the majority, get the fuck out. That's just my personal opinion. Again, I'm an outsider looking in. If I go back to a club, that's how I, or when I look at clubs, like that's how I say, is this a fit for me? Do they have 75% Drifters? If the answer is no, I'm not coming to your party.
That's solid advice, man.
So for one, I mean, he's mean on the guitar. I don't know if you've ever heard the song Night Moves. Holy shit.
Drifter. I paid you $1.
What song
was that?
I did.
What was the song again?
I don't remember. I gotta look it up.
Did you actually send $1?
Yeah, he sent me $1.
Yeah, I sent him $1.
Yeah. So, but what I want to bring up,
Hey, wait, Ken, can bring it up, and then can you segue us into growth?
I can.
Wait, Ken.
God fucking damn it.
Can you bring it up? Let me say one thing and then segue us into growth.
How about I'll bring it up, I'll say it, and then you segue us into
growth. Hey, whoa, Ken.
Ken!
Can you
talk? Shut the fuck up. How about
that? Wait. Can you talk a lot about this and then totally forget to go into segue for the growth? Can you do that?
So anyways, before – God damn it, guys. I love you guys so much. So one of the negatives that I've – and forgive me if I'm wrong here, Dave, but how listening to it, it was perceived that you were speaking about this in kind of like a negative way. But for like using myself as an example, Kenny is a shitty person. I don't like that guy. He's a piece of shit. He's lazy. Fucking don't fucking talk to that guy. He's a piece of shit. But when he has something that he's accountable for and he knows that there's a fucking standard or a mission requirement, whatever you want to call it, there's not going to be a whole lot to stop me from meeting that requirement. Right. I maybe it's like my competitive nature in me or something like that, maybe, or like work at whatever you want to call it. I know that when I was not prospecting for a club, I did not ride my motorcycle as often as I could have. But I still called myself a biker, and I still wrote for Four for the Road. And I still I don't want to say educating, but I was still like, hey guys, like this is what a biker and or a club dude should do when I'm not riding my fucking bike on perfect fucking weather days. I found my home, right? And I believe anyways that I'm working diligently to earn my spot amongst these men. And I know that I'm going to catch not hell, right? It's not going to be like a reprimand or anything like that, but people are going to be like, oh, wait a minute, dude. It was like 72 the other day. You didn't ride. What the fuck? And I'm going to, you know, just playful little shit talk. I don't want to go through that. Right. Because like there's my anxiety brain, my depression brain is going to be like, oh, they don't fucking like you. And they were fucking talking shit and they think you're not a real biker. That's that kind of shit, right? Because that's just how my stupid fucking brain works. So I'm going to try to remove that from them, right? Be like, yeah, dude, I know it was fucking 32 degrees the other day, but I rode my shit. I know it was fucking -7 when we had that cold snap that fucking piece shit Dave sent down here from the north. But I rode my shit. I didn't ride my shit when it was -7. That was just an example. Because I also believe in honesty.
But
the accountability, right? Like that is important to a lot of people. And that's one of the things that I feel is a benefit for me and people like me when they join organizations or they're in my shoes and they're trying to join an organization. I now know that there's a standard and I'm not going to be a meet standards kind of guy. I don't really like mediocrity. And that's why I love all you guys, right? Is because you guys, no matter what you do, you guys pour 100% of yourself into it. You know, whether it's helping veterans or, you know, writing hit singles from the 70s or being No Shame, like you guys pour 100% of yourselves into it, right? And that's what I want to fucking be. That's what I want to be around, because I think to an extent I'm kind of a chameleon. I'm going to match what my environment is. And if I'm around a bunch of solid ass dudes who ride their motorcycles, they're fucking passionate about their club, they're passionate about their brothers, and they're passionate about the love that they have for their brothers, I know that eventually I'm going to morph myself into that, and I'm going to contribute to that, and I'm going to be passionate about, you know, men that maybe one day I'll be able to call brother. I'm going to be passionate about riding my shit as hard as I can. I'm going to be passionate about the club that hopefully one day I am a part of. And that's, I'm not, I don't feel like I would get that from, you know, a group of civilian friends, but also at the same time, right? The club life ain't for everybody. I was just talking to my sister. She's visiting from San Diego right now. And I was talking to her about that. The club life ain't for fucking everybody, you know, whether, you know, it's an accountability issue or whether it's a fucking, like a schedule issue, like, hey, we have this many mandatories. Because you know what? Being part of an MC, you're going to have mandatories. You're going to have requirements. You're going to have all this other stuff, right? And if that's a problem for you, then don't join an MC. 100% don't join an MC. And I think that this is a great segue into the growth part that I fucked up. But
oh, no, my shame. God, you're supposed to pass it to me. What a dick.
I know. No shame. You said you wanted to do something before I...
Yeah, I just want to say one
segue that I fucking missed time.
Your segue sucks. Shut the fuck up. I'm just kidding.
You know what? You're like 5'5" and your beard doesn't connect. Fuck off.
We're the same height, but I'm heavier, so see how that works out in a fight, buddy. Anyways, yeah. what Ken was saying was
that you're only heavier because your dick's bigger.
That's true. I was gonna roll my eyes at you and I did, but I rewind the eye roll because yes. One of the things that Ken was talking about is being a shitty person without the people around you to be accountable for. Now, I do think that probably exists elsewhere. You know, the being accountable to a group of friends in varying degrees. But one of the things that Dave was talking about before that was, you know, kind of just choosing that group, whether it's that group of friends or whether it is the club. You know, if you don't have enough drifters in the club, don't join the club. And I actually wrote this down when we first started. Don't join for the club if you're not going to join for the chapter. And at the same time, don't join for the chapter if you're not going to join for the club. Meaning that, like, if that chapter is not the group of friends that you would have found in Dave's scenario, where he's just found a group of friends that meets all his needs and provides him the brotherhood he's looking for. If you don't find that in that chapter, like Ken was talking about earlier, then don't join. Like, that's not the place for you. You want to enjoy the company of those people around you. And then at the same time, if you can't look at the club as a whole and say, this is where I want to be, or it's where I want to be more than anywhere else, then don't join the club. I mean, the chapter by itself is not going to carry you through that full journey, especially if you're in like a large nation type organization. If the entire nation's fucked up and you got one good chapter, you're not going to be happy there. I promise you. So make sure that you're joining holistically. And I think, like, when we talk about holistically,
too big a word.
Okay. Make sure you're joining something that meets all of the requirements for what you're looking at and hits from every angle. And then, like, when we go to, like, what Ken was talking about, you can find what Ken was looking for in a group of friends, like what he's talking about, making you a better person. But I think the MC does a slightly better job if you're doing it right. And this is, like, I'm going to stress this. If they are doing it right, they do a better job of doing that for the total person. You know, you're going to make sure your brother has the best fucking job he can have, is riding his bike as much as he can, is there for his family as much as he can. When he stumbles and falls, you're going to lift him up. And that outside the MC. But I think an MC that is, like I said, stressing, doing it right, it's more holistic, which you can now use context clues to put together the meaning of that word. but let's take it to the next subject, and we're talking about growth, man, right?
I got something for that now.
God damn it, we're never going to get to growth. All right, go ahead.
We're never going to get to growth. But see, I think, you know, I'm not going to, like, air laundry or anything like that, but, like, with conversations that you and I have had, Dave, I think the most common theme that you and I have both said to each other in one way or another is that you cannot reasonably expect yourself from other people. And I have been walking this earth for 33 years, and I have met maybe a handful of men that dedicate themselves to those who they consider family like you do, right? I know that if you were on a beach, and this is a quote, if you were on a beach getting your dick sucked by some big booty Latina girl in Mexico, and you found out that I died in a motorcycle wreck, I was murdered, whatever, right? You'd be on the next plane out. I would really hope that you would understand that I want you to get the blowjob you deserve first and then get on the plane. Don't stop that, you know? But I think...
That's so touching.
It's so touching.
Oh, I can't believe it. You're breaking my heart.
I hope it's a tranny, first of all. But anyway.
Yeah, you can't get those pregnant, can you, Dave?
Exactly.
So, but I and maybe this is a shitty observation, and, you know, I'm like fucking five beers deep on an empty stomach, but I do believe that you kind of look at things and you look for, would I conduct myself this way, or would I do it better? Would Jim conduct himself this way, or would he do it better? And then you would kind of go off on that kind of
Dave, at least mute it if you're going to take a shit.
I know, right? Yeah. He's literally in his fucking bathroom with his laptop, and this is definitely
staying. You didn't even close the door.
Fucking heathen, man.
Oh, God.
So, damn, Dave. But I think that maybe to an extent, I could be correct here in this assessment, that you do kind of expect yourself from other people. And I don't necessarily blame you for that. But also, I think when you're comparing other people to yourself and you're looking for what you would do in that situation instead of what they did, whatever the situation is you kind of like kneecap yourself there, and you're not allowing those people to be authentic. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they are who they are, whatever they handled it, however they handled it, this motherfucker ain't even going to wash his hands after taking a shit. And then
so how about that growth?
It's all about growth. You know,
hey, maybe I wasn't listening to anything you were saying.
I only went pee. All right. But I sat down so that wouldn't be all loud in the audio. So you're welcome. But I will say,
you have a mute
button.
Sound
like you're frying chicken.
I will say that Ken is the example when I write the articles or I say the words that you don't need a club to find it. Ken is the example of the person that should join a club. I'm sure No Shame and Drifter are also the examples of the person that should join the club. Now, can somebody segue us into – oh, hang on.
But how many people do you think should join clubs? Like, should we be growing?
No, we should not be growing
at
the rate that the club community is growing. And I think Dave has a perfect point for this.
I probably forgot it by now, but what I love is you know what I love about being an independent, and maybe this skews my opinion or why I think independence is so great, is because I can say shit, say whatever I want, with as long as it's based in respect and things like that. I can pretty much say whatever I want, and it's just my opinion. And there's going to be people that agree with me and people that disagree with me, but nobody else is accountable for what I say, because it's just me.
Not true.
No.
I think I can also say whatever I want as long as it's based in respect.
Same here.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the difference here is
like, okay, well, let's talk about that one club then. No, I'm just kidding. But I will say
that's disrespectful.
To segue us into,
did you guys see how pale my face got just now?
to segue
us into, no.
My one thing that I came up with that I think I talked to Jim about that I really like, and I don't know if he agreed, he probably didn't agree with me, but you know, everything is about the, you know, in an MC, a lot of the talk is about, as it should be, is about the club, is about the responsibility, is about the commitment and the accountability to the club as an entity, to the patch, making, you know, yes. But if you're not, if you're thinking, I'm going to join this club, oh, well, now No Shame's just showing off. But make them, I want to word this the right way, make them earn you. Unless you're a fucking piece of shit, you're going to enhance the club that you're joining. That's the idea. You are going to continue the tradition, the legacy, the heritage. You are going to be a needed, integral, and valuable component over the life of your club career, your club life, to that organization. So all the buzzwords about what can the, you know, not what the club can do for you, what can you do for the club, and accountability to the patch and the patch, all this, and you know, the man doesn't make the patch, or man patch doesn't make the man, etc. Yes, 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 yes. But make the club earn your commitment. Don't go in there thinking that it's all sacrifice on your part and this and that. Yes, you are going to serve a greater good. You're going to serve the table. All those cliches are absolutely true. But before you get to that part, make sure they have earned the right to have you serve the table. It goes both ways.
That's what the hangaround period is for. That's the honeymoon. That's where you go in and you see if you even like these guys. As an individual, before you join, you go in, do I like these guys? Do I like what they do? Do I like what they stand for? You know, and I'm going to see as much of the club as I can, other chapters, during this hangaround period, and then I'll make my decision. So, yeah, that's the club proving to you that they're worthy of you. It works both ways.
I would take that a step farther and say that that's like especially important during the prospecting period. Obviously going through it right now, right? But
well, hang on. Once you do the prospect period, you've already made a commitment. You've made to them.
Yeah, you've made the commitment. However, right? And I think it would be arrogant for anybody to say, well, it's 100% on the prospect to make sure that he's a good fit for this club, and that's it, right? Because there is nothing stopping me from going to my next church saying, hey, guys, this isn't for me. I don't like what I'm seeing, or fucking whatever the reason is, putting my cut down on the table, making sure that I'm caught up on my dues that are owed to the club and saying, I want to stop.
True.
Right? 100%. What is keeping myself and everybody else that's prospecting for their respective clubs right now is how they're being treated and what they're seeing and how this club's moving and all that other stuff.
Some people got shitty prospects. I've done seen it.
Some people got shitty prospects. Some people got shitty sponsors, right? Some people got those, you know, there's going to be those patch holders.
Some prospects have shitty clubs.
Oh, damn.
He said that. Oh. That was not me. Whoa! I'm no longer.
I think it's a good point.
Shots fired.
No, it is a good point. It is a good point.
Because no, I'm gonna let Ken finish, but then I'm gonna talk about shitty club.
No shame. If you got anything good, yeah, go ahead and fucking chime in here if you want.
Appreciate your permission, Kenjamin.
I'm here for you.
No, but I think we put a lot of this like talk on, you know, and a lot of this advice that we give and like the criticisms we give, we put that on the individual and we put that on the independents and we put that on those people that are like hanging around and prospecting. And we're not wrong. I mean, Drifter's not wrong to say use your hang around period to get to know the club. 1000%. That's how it should be. But let's talk about all these fucking dickhead clubs that are rushing people through hang around and prospect periods that aren't doing their due diligence to make sure that this is a right fit because all they care about is growth. It's fucking retarded. And like, it's the reason that we're even having this conversation. Is too much growth a bad thing? Yeah, 1000% it's a bad thing. And it's a bad thing from multiple angles. It's a bad thing from you're growing your club too fast, as in you're letting anybody come in and prospect and join your club. or your chapter or whatever it is. And it's also a bad thing in these larger clubs allowing anybody to fucking start up a new club with random fucking eBay patches, as long as they put this little fucking circle on their chest that says support your local, I'm a dickhead club. Like, that shit's stupid. And all this growth that's happening because of like a need for numbers is poisoning our community. It's creating those situations where people are looking at a club and saying, like, I can find this and better elsewhere. You know, let's focus on tuning up what we have. Let's focus on fixing the fucking bullshit that we've started over the last fucking umpteen decades. Let's fucking focus on fixing our house and keeping ourselves clean while having healthy growth versus just fucking taking anybody, letting anybody fucking fly around and just being general fucking dickheads. Then we don't have people sitting there looking at the whole club community as a whole saying, this place kind of sucks. Look at all these substandard fucking dudes here. Let me go just fucking start my own shit and call it like Buddies Having Fun. And we'll make a hoodie that says Buddies Having Fun on it. And then we'll be cool. Cause that sounds better to me than dealing with the fucking dumbass politics of the MC world sometimes.
So Drifter has something that I've always enjoyed. And hopefully I can pitch it to him to talk about. But holding clubs accountable and saying that part of the reason that clubs are obviously they're still growing, right? There's still a huge amount of people lining up to put on a patch, et cetera. But like to No Shame's point, sometimes we're losing quality and then we're just getting quantity and all this stuff. Or, you know, sometimes you see really good guys choosing not to join. And Drifter has said, you know, he's brought up the point, are clubs doing it to themselves, pushing people, good people away based on some of the things that No Shame brought up. You know, Drifter, can you go into, I mean, I've always thought that was just a great point that you brought up or a question that you've asked is, you know, are clubs kind of responsible in doing it to themselves?
So that article that I wrote a while back, I kind of asked those questions. With all the politics going on and all the bad side of being in a club seems to get emphasized a lot. Are we setting as a club, as a club community, are we setting ourselves up to have to compete with these friend groups? And I wish we had a name for them. I'm just going to start calling them friend groups.
Just call them Dave's people.
Oh, hey, I like
the
that.
The DPs. The DPs.
So I like to start from the very beginning. You got a young guy. He's got his motorcycle. He's been riding for a while. He's looking for something more. Right?
A DP.
Yeah. Well, he's not a DP yet. He's just a regular guy. Okay. He doesn't know if he wants the DP. He's got to, you know, feel it out, see what's out there.
No, stop it. Come on. You have a really good point. Get serious. All right. God, be serious.
Hey, I'm not the one that came up with DPs. So, anyway, you got a young kid and he wants something more, right? So, he's going to look at the MCs and he's going to look at the DPs. And the MCs are going to have all this, you know, bullshit that gets highlighted and aired out. And then he's going to look at the DPs. So, unfortunately, I think MCs now have to compete for that young guy to see if he's going to, you know, come out and be a part of the MC world. And I think I'm the only one left on this podcast. Holy shit. Punk rock is gone?
I'm here.
Oh, that you're.
I just like
the point. I just turned my video off.
I like the point that you make about, you know, personal responsibility being on the club. I think too, you know, when we talk about leaving the right way and things like that, one of the reasons why guys are good people, not who cares if you lose a shipper. And everybody always wants to look at how can you attack an argument that's made on a podcast. First of all, there should be more people and more podcasts, more avenues to have these kind of conversations. Cause I think no matter if you're playing church league softball or you're in a motorcycle community, having a conversation for the most part is never a negative thing. It could always lead to healthy outcomes. So there should be more conversations happening. But I think, you know, clubs looking at the responsibility when somebody comes to leave and they're leaving the right way and stuff like that, why are they leaving? What are we doing as an organization? I think a lot of times, not every time, there's a thought to, well, that person's life circumstances changed or this or that, or they just couldn't handle what we're doing anymore. But I'm not saying you're at fault, but as a club, have that internal conversation too. did we do everything we could? Maybe you did. But I'm just, I don't think that those conversations, are clubs doing it to themselves through all of these different avenues. I don't think that conversation's been having enough. I think it's happening, not as much as it could.
Sure. But a good club will also take into account everybody individual's situation. Like a really older guy, we have some older guys in the club. They can't get out and ride those 1,000 miles like the younger guys do in a day, you know? So they don't. And we don't give them shit for it. They'll meet us at the other end. So a good club has to take into account all that different situations. I plan on growing old in this club. I'm going to be that old fart that, you know, eventually ends up on a three-wheeler and then eventually can barely ride at all. But I'm still going to be part of this club.
How much older are you going to get, bro? I mean, you kind of already.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. What are you doing?
It's also real easy when we're having this kind of conversation too, right? On both sides of the conversation, whether it's easy, it's really easy to highlight the hyper negatives and the hyper positives, or I seen this one massive positive one time, so this is what I'm going to use for my argument, you know, in response to XYZ, right? But I really do think just like at the end of the fucking day, right, is if you feel, you know, because it's all individual, right, and it doesn't matter, you know. Fucking, we can line out the positives, negative. We can make a fucking, you know, line chart, whatever. You know, what I'm going to assign to a positive might be what Dave assigns to a negative. Or the value that I assign to a positive, Dave might not feel that it carries as much weight in his life as it does in mine, right? So, like, Dave is inherently a fucking great dude. You know, I know that he, like, to be honest, he's who I measure people against. Because he has time and time again proven himself to be an outstanding man and a dude who I'm blessed to have in my life. And he might measure, you know, he's going to measure things differently than I am. He doesn't need the accountability, you know, and I'm not trying to speak for him, but he doesn't need the accountability like I need the accountability. Maybe he needs it a little bit less. So where I'm putting a 10, he's putting a 3. Right.
What do you need, Dave? That's a really good point. Dave, what do you need?
Let's talk Dave into a club.
Can we have Noshi back on the video though? It's just weird looking at a blank.
No, screen. It's his internet. It's you know, he's a traveling man now. No. So he doesn't have that Ethernet plugged into his computer anymore.
So there's two points that I want to make before I forget, and then you guys can have at him. But number one, and they're not related, so this might sound discombobulated and shit. So get a pen out so you can follow me because it's probably gonna.
We agreed, no big words.
So this is probably gonna make no sense because it's two completely divergent, different thoughts. Number one, I don't know if it was Ken or No Shame or Drifter, but you know, talking about the hangarounds and the prospects and things like that. You know, a large club, any club really, is probably. I shouldn't say that, but some clubs and some chapters, whatever, are going to hear a podcast and whatever, hear our thoughts, and they're going to be like, what the fuck do these guys know? They're not in my club. Fair enough. But I think there's a trend, not that it's not that everybody's doing, but there's this trend to talk about how hard the prospecting period is and how much is asked of the prospects or how much they give or the commitment and the sacrifice and all that stuff. Absolutely. I understand it. But instead of just like, you know, well, the prospecting period was hard, so this person got into the club because they proved themselves. Just wait. Don't give them an opportunity to prove themselves yet. Extend the hangaround time. Why do you need to put somebody – why does somebody need to go right from the hangaround period to the prospect period to the patch period just because they can and they can earn it? Close the books. Do less growth. Here we grow again. How about not? And I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying it's just a thought. It's just a thought. Don't fucking rake me over the coals. It's just a thought. Let's see what happens to the community and some of the negative aspects if growth is slowed a little bit. Now, how are you going to get every club to adhere to this or to agree to it or to even consider it? You're probably not. Let's be realistic. But just again, as an outsider, and again, an outsider is what's eventually going to join your club and continue its growth or legacy. Let them hang around for longer than you are before they start the prospect journey. Who cares? If the commitment is the commitment that you're looking for, and it's the commitment and the passion that somebody like Ken talks about, it should still be there no matter how long the hang around period is. And if they leave, then did you really need that person? But to No Shame's point, if you're expediting the whole process, you're creating a diluted sample. You're creating a watered down version. And again, you know, like Ken said, you know, people go to the extremes on this and stuff like that. We're not talking extremes. We're not saying that this is every single person in every MC. We're just saying that this exists. And maybe these are some conversations that people could have. Now, do we want to hit on that before I go into my next thing? Or can I just hit on my next thing?
I mean, I really just agree with you. You know, fucking running people through the prospect period or their hang around period. Like, hey, he showed up to fucking one ride and he didn't piss me off that time. Let's next time we see him, let's throw a prospect tab on him. And no, absolutely not, right? Because you're robbing yourself of really like initially getting to know somebody to make sure that's going to be a decent representation of your club. And then, you know, on the other side of that, you're robbing yourself of, hey, man, does this club reflect my value? You know, so am I going to pay whatever the fuck money I got to pay, whether it's dues or fucking whatever, however that club operates. And A, are we going to invest time in this guy and he's going to fucking flame out in 2 months? Like, I totally get it. I say we, right? Like I'm, but by extending the hang around period or the prospect period to, you know, cause there's a lot of dudes out there that are doing like 2-3 months, little mom and pop clubs. And that's fine, right? Like, run your fucking club however you want to. My opinion doesn't mean a motherfucking thing. But
it depends on the individual.
Yeah, putting people through their fucking, you know, through the paces, right? Just like everybody else that has gone before has been put through the fucking paces, right? Just make sure that it's legitimate and it's applicable to your club, right? So, like, if you're a mom and pop club, as an example, right? You're a mom and pop club and you're in one city in the middle of the country, and there's not another club for miles and miles around you, why are you going to make this dude hang around for 7-8 months and then prospect him for 2 years? You know, it's just like, dude, like you grew up with Billy Bob. You know his mom. You went to his grandma's funeral. Why are you going to make this man hang around for, you know, 7-8 months and then prospect him for 2 years? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's all individual, man.
But again, it is all individual, right? And
Did you just echo what Jim said, but sounding like you were gonna like debate what Jim said? He's like, hey, Jim. So anyway, yeah, it's all individual, like Jim said.
No, I agree with him. I'm also like,
it's not the first time he's repeated exactly what Jim said over. Shut up, guy.
You will. I'm not just like, fuck y'all.
for the growth piece again, you know, like Jim said, it's on the organization and the individual themselves to work it out. Same thing Ken said. I'm just saying, if you want to hear an outsider's opinion, that doesn't matter, or you take it for what it's worth. I don't think that there's a bad thing in closing the books. And I'm not saying, you know, like strip all your prospects and stuff like that. I'm just like, slow it down a little bit. And I'm not saying slow the prospect time down. Do what you do if you've decided that person deserves to be a prospect. Do what you do. But before you get to that point, slow it down a little bit. Why do you need that person to prospect? Because you can, because you'll grow. There's shitbags. There's shitbags in all walks of life, and there are shitbags that are earning your patch right now. Oh, it's true. There's fucking people that shouldn't wear your patch that are going to wear your patch. So why not slow it down a little bit and see what happens? The good people that really are the Kens of the community that want to be in your club are going to be there to prospect when you're ready to let them.
And can I give you the real reason?
Go ahead.
And it's not a pretty reason, but it's a real reason, and it sucks that it happens. But say Club A and Club B are in the same area, and Club A and Club B have a hit or miss relationship. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's indifferent. It is what it is. Club A and Club B are generally thought of on the same tier, same level. Say that they're like pinnacle clubs, you know, that's highest you could go. Club A or Club B. Well, if Club A decides that they're going to become strict with their guidelines and stuff, all these people that are coming around, they're now going to look and, you know, potentially good people, potentially shitty people, but they're going to come, they're going to look, and they're going to say like, hey, I could sit here and I could fucking hang around and have no thought of like when I'm ever going to prospect because the books are closed, or I can go over here to Club B. And it's generally the same thing to me. Outside looking in, it looks like the same fucking thing. Club A, Club B. Club A doesn't want me. Club B does. So I'm going to join Club B. And now you're sitting here in Club A and you're nitpicking. You're trying to find like all these high quality guys. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're in this situation and Club B is getting all these guys, and maybe tomorrow you're not friends anymore. Well, now what? Now you got eight solid as fuck dudes and they've got 32 and 20 of them are solid. Well, and 12 of them wash out as soon as shit goes bad. And now you're 20 on eight. So the politics surrounding these events make it difficult. Cause as much as I would like to say, like, yeah, sure. Fuck. Slow the fucking process down. Let's fucking like really close the books. Take our time. There are other factors that go into it. You know, for me specifically, my chapter had a maximum number of members. Like we would not allow more to join after a certain number. And that was because we wanted quality guys. But then you also take into account, like, there's other going on here. Say there's even a neighboring chapter. Say Club A is in, fuck, where's some state nobody cares about?
Wisconsin.
I don't know any cities in Wisconsin. Say they're in Oklahoma. So Club A is in Oklahoma. I have never been to Oklahoma other than fucking AIT. So I'm not talking about any way specifically. But say Club A has a chapter in fucking Tulsa, and they also have a chapter in Oklahoma City. That's what, hour and a half apart? Something like that? Okay, so chapter one of Club A decides that they're going to be stricter, and then chapter two of Club A decides that they're not going to be as strict. It's the same fucking club. So why? What's stopping me from saying, like, okay, well, chapter one doesn't want me, let me go to chapter two. So, I mean, if you want solid, continuous growth, you have to be at least a little bit reasonable. And if your neighbor is not being reasonable and they're being easy, that provides you another challenge. And again, not saying any of this is right or wrong. Perfect world, 100% agree with you, Dave. But there are 1,000 points of the different political avenues that change this and then make it a little bit more difficult than saying, yes, this is what we should or shouldn't do.
And I think, you know, so other than taking away from this episode, like one thing I hope people take away from this episode, other than just all my points are correct, it's just that there isn't necessarily a definitive right or wrong. It's very much just a conversation, and nobody's saying shit about how anybody should do anything. It's just an opinion based on experiences or perspectives. And I, if you say, oh, okay, in a perfect world, what comes out of this episode? The 20 people that listen to it, I hope they have a conversation, and maybe the people they talk to have a conversation, and that's it. Just don't change the shit. Don't change the thing if you don't want to, but have a conversation. And that's why, you know, I was really excited to have No Shame on this episode, because, you know, nothing against, you know, the clubs that Ken and Drift are in, but they're different than the club that No Shame is in. So it gives three different perspectives. So, like, you know, we're not blowing smoke up No Shame's ass. He's got a different perspective than Drifter or Ken does. Ken's got a different perspective than No Shame does, et cetera. So, you know, I think being in such a large national multinational club, multiple chapters, you know, holding a diamond, really being a part of the politics side of the community, I think No Shame brings a great perspective that benefits this episode.
So I have thoughts on growth. So here's the deal.
I want to hear them. I want to hear them so fucking hard.
So you got the DPs. No. So there's such a thing called a death spiral.
You got to fucking stop that, man. I was not ready.
You're never ready for the DPs, man.
Ken can't handle the DPs.
It's surprise sex. But anyway, so there's such a thing called that I call a death spiral. So you got a chapter, right? And let's say they close the books, or they just stop growing for whatever reason. Well, those guys get older and older, and they do less and less. And then young guys come around, and they go, I don't want to hang out with those old farts, man. They don't do shit. And then next thing you know, that chapter doesn't have enough guys to be a chapter anymore. They can't afford their clubhouse anymore, and they just fade away. So that's why you need constant growth, at least good growth, not too much. Not, you know, breaking off just because you don't like this guy, you're going to start your own shit. That's bullshit. But you got to have that constant influx, and a really good chapter will have a good mix of older guys, middle-aged guys, and young guys. That marks a good chapter. So don't close the books completely. Just control it. Do it the right way.
All right. So now, what does the other part of that was the question? I think it was Drifter. What does Dave need?
Yeah, yeah. What does Dave need?
Not that my needs or my interests are applicable to anybody else. They are of my own. But if you again, if this episode is dedicated majority to people on the outside looking in and considering to jump or not to jump. Your experience may not be the same as mine. I would argue that because of being in a club, something I benefited from, and from knowing you guys and being able to do this, I have created a network that maybe other people don't have. So consider that when you're considering whether or not to jump. But if my situation, the core group of friends you have, the thoughts that you have in your head, whatever, are even similarly related to what you're thinking about or how your situation is. I love riding. And you may say that, well, duh, why else would you join a motorcycle club if you don't love riding? I would argue that I do a different kind of riding. There are a lot of great things that you can do in a motorcycle club. If you have a large national club, there are going to be opportunities to go all over the place. And that can be great. But you have to understand that sometimes you may be on a schedule. You may be on a time crunch. You may be leaving a different vacation or other thing that you had planned with this and that. You may, depending on the club that you join, now have dictation on who you can ride with. You need to consider that. And when I look at how I ride in my life and how it's structured, that is something I had to consider. I know a lot of different people that are very close to me that I love dearly. And joining a club could impact the ability to ride with them, the free time I have to go and see them and ride with them, or the political the political considerations to riding with them. So if you're on the outside and you're looking in, consider that. And that, what does Dave need? I don't know. And this is nothing against anybody's club, but I don't know yet 100% that there's a club that could match the kind of riding that I do. And when I said I am so fortunate to be able to go from where I live in Wisconsin and see people in Florida. And then from there, I can go and I can see people in Texas. I can go and I can see people in Virginia. And I can see people in South Dakota and Montana and this and that. And you say, well, I can do that in my club too. Very true. I can do it with different clubs. I can do it with non-clubs. I can do it on my schedule. I can do it on their schedule. I can do it without considering a mandatory that my club might have, territorial disputes or politics or things like that. These are the things that mean a lot to me because I value those relationships with those people. They mean more to me right now. I don't want to say it like that, but they mean more to me than a patch I've found yet. And I don't mean like I've been in all these clubs. No. What I mean is like in looking at coming back to an MC, is joining that MC worth giving up how I've structured my riding? And to me, the answer is no. And if you're looking at a club, I want you to have that same conversation with yourself. And your answer may be completely different than mine. You're just like Ken, join that club.
So long as you take into account what you're going to get.
But I think that we have guys that are jumping because the patch, the idea of a motorcycle club, the idea of handlebar to handlebars and state to state and all this stuff is sexy. And then they get into it and they see the requirements to get to the sex. And it's not how they want to live their life. That's fine. So I think really have that conversation with yourself and how you ride and stuff like that before you join. Call me. Don't call me. I hate when people fucking call me, but you know, email me, text me, hit me up on Instagram. I'll come ride with you. And if you still want to join a club, join that club. But I know I've had the conversation with Jim and we're not getting into specifics, but there was a person, a time and a place where I sat there knowing that had I made a different choice, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. And that was kind of the, what does Dave need moment where if I'm going to go back to a club, this has to be a non-issue. And I don't know that there's going to come a time for me when that'll happen. And again, the point of the whole podcast, and I'm going to be done here, is that if you're the Kens, the Drifters, the No Shames, do it. But God, we have so many people joining clubs that end up regretting the decision because they just didn't take the time to think. Or the club snowballed them. Let's be on the fucking club snowballed them. Fine, whatever. So do yourself a favor. It's not on the club not to fucking bullshit you. All right? It's how we all ended up in the military. All right? They're recruiting you. If you're a good dude, that club is recruiting you. I don't give a fuck what any club says. That club is fucking recruiting you.
Hey, Dave, my club doesn't recruit.
How you carry yourself is a recruitment. It's so 100%. Look at it.
I think what else you should look at too, right? While you're being and you should be a little selfish when you're looking at if you are looking at joining a motorcycle club, like, right? Like, what am I getting out of all my time and sacrifice, right? But also look at how you yourself are impacting the community. Because I look at like what Dave is bringing up, right? This dude is riding coast to coast, left and right, fucking Monday to Friday, basically, right? I really don't know anybody that puts in more miles than fucking Dave does. And I look at the positive impact that he has on the community as a whole, right? And he could walk into Club A's clubhouse on Monday night and Club B's clubhouse on Tuesday night and Club C's clubhouse on Wednesday night. And he can have a positive impact there, even if those three clubs necessarily don't get along. But it's because of how he carries himself and how he conducts himself, right? That allows him the opportunity to have friends in all these different nations. And when these dudes sit down and have a talk with them, and I've seen this firsthand, right? Is he'll sit in a clubhouse where neither one of us live at, neither one of us, we know maybe one dude here, right? But we walk into this clubhouse. And people are able to, you know, sit down, they vibe with him, they connect with him. And I've even so much as seen people run situations or scenarios past him, not necessarily club business, just like life stuff that we all go through. Right. And he's been able to have a massive positive impact on the motorcycle club community as a whole. And for somebody in that kind of situation, and like you said, the writing that you do. I really don't think that a club would be good for you, save maybe one or two, right? And maybe I'm a little biased. Maybe I'm a little biased. I'll give you that. You know, and I see that like, shut the fuck up. Head throwback, you're doing there. But I think that honestly, like, unless you join one of those, maybe two clubs, three clubs, I really don't think that any club would satisfy you and would be worthy of you. And, you know, I think that there are a lot of decent clubs out there for anybody, right? But you just got to be selfish in that and say, make sure that it's a good fit for you.
And you're right. But this isn't about me. This is about anybody looking at clubs, thinking about it. And so take all of this shit that we're not talking shit, but take all the stuff that we're talking about, and put it into your own tool bag, and you figure out whether or not you want to get DP'd. I mean, that's...
Well, that's the episode, folks.
I definitely want to find out how I'm going to work getting DP'd into the fucking episode title.
I think we're done, man. That's once you're DP'd, there's no going back from that.
That's a great ending, but you know, there's just a lot of good points that everybody brought up, and there's no right or wrong. It's just, again, really, I think this episode is more for the outsiders looking in. Really, just make sure you put in your work to considering it before making that jump. Maybe there's a few things that guys and clubs could talk about amongst, you know, themselves and say, hey, is this something we've thought of before? Let's have this conversation. If you can drive conversation, I think one of the reasons, you know, Ken talked about why I can go certain places or I've been accepted certain places. It's a huge honor to me. It's not something that I like, oh yeah, I can, I don't throw it around. Like, oh, I can go here and I can go there and I can do this and I can do that. No, not at all. Like you've accepted me because I want to hear your stories. You know, even if I never join a club again, like how you carry yourself, how the drifters of the world and 1% clubs to mom and pop clubs, how the drifters of those clubs carry themselves is always fascinated me, and I've always loved it and the history of it and the guys that were like drifter before there was a drifter in, I don't know, the 1800s. You know, that is the part that I, you know, for me, I love learning about. And so I want you to tell me those stories when I get to ride with you or have a beer with you or sit at your clubhouse and pay respects and things like that. But yeah,
Hey, make your own stories, man. Come on.
I am by riding there.
You're the man. Come on.
That's why I ride there. But yeah, so again, I think this episode was more for the guys that are looking in. And if you're in a large club or in any club and you want to be like, oh, this episode fucking sucks. or what does that guy, what does Dave know? The outsiders looking in, again, to reiterate, the outsiders looking in are what's going to make the future of your club. So consider it. That's it. Just consider it.
100% agree with that. Drifty, you got anything before we take off, man?
No, I think it was a good episode, actually.
Yeah. So
those guys that are kind of on the fence, man, reach out. Talk to people. Go meet a club. You know, do whatever you got to do. Go get DP'd. Whatever you want to do, just get out there. Do something.
Get DP'd. How about you, No Shame? What do you got before we get out of here? Please don't.
Well, this conversation was just an example of, like, how to loosely look at all the issues, you know, and when you spread things out and you just really start stretching back the layers of the onion and, you take two really good, hard, solid points and you just drive them home, you're well on your way to becoming DP.
Exactly, man. You just got to get hard, stretch, DP'd, you know.
January is going to go fast. You know, starting in February, I've got to take some trips to Texas for work. Then in April and May, got some long rides coming up. So if you want to get DP'd, just reach out. Hit me up on the page, whatever, dude. We'll work something out. You can come ride with me, and we'll look for the DP.
Oh, man. Dave will help you find the DP in a bloodstained motel room. And don't tell me you haven't done that because we've heard the story.
I was with Ken to get DP'd one time.
Yeah.
Took Ken there.
Yeah. It's very deep. But hey, guys, seriously, thank you guys. Thank you for your time tonight. I think this is an important conversation, and especially one that, like, I don't think a lot of dudes in clubs want to have. But also, right, it's a valuable one that I think people should have, you know. When you're talking about your own club, are we growing too fast? Are we growing, you know, too slow? Whatever, you know. Do we need more DPs in the world? You know, I mean, I think Garage Beer Day will tell you, you know, DPs are the way to go.
We're just gonna beat we're gonna beat that horse to fucking
yeah, man. We're gonna beat it, we're gonna DP it, we're gonna HJ it, you know, we're gonna do it all. But but yeah, thanks for coming and hanging out with us for nearly 2 fucking hours this time. And we'll catch you soon with something else. And I'll try to be sober for that one so I can make my points more articulate.